from one blood. Listen, we all came from the same blood. But listen, not only we all came from the same blood, put this down, we all came from the same dirt.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Nobody wants to talk about the elephant in the room. But suddenly, outrage and mayhem have taken over our streets as the racial divisions in American society have shown their sharp and ugly edge. Many seem to have lost hope that things can be better. But in the two-part message that begins this evening, Pastor Brian Grant uses scripture to look inward into the soul and the entrenched patterns of behavior in the American church and how, in the matter of race, the Spirit of Christ calls his people to be salt and light in a society that knows neither. We invite our listeners to plan to be with us over these 4 weeks, as Pastor Grant's two-part message is actually intended to be one complete message. So we ask you to have your Bibles handy as together we listen to Pastor Grant bring the first half of this message entitled God's Answers to the Racial Divide in the American Church, Part 1. Here now is Pastor Grant.
John Howard Griffin was born in the American South. And as a white teenager in the South, he grew up accepting slavery and racism as normal. Well, I better say he grew up with racism because, of course, by then slavery was over. You know, when he was 15 years old, Griffin was accepted to a boarding school in France. And when he got there, to his great surprise, he found that there were black students in his class. And not only were there black students in his class, he found out that the black students were allowed to eat with the white students. Well, that sort of shook him up because, as I said, you know, this was, he was raised in the 1900s. I guess he was born somewhere about 1930 or 1940. And so this was a little odd for him to see black students eating with the whites. Well, it sort of shook him up, but it made him start to rethink how he was raised. And by the time he got to his mid-30s, because this really worked on him, by the time he got to his mid-30s, he decided to do something unusual. He decided to explore what it would be like to be a black man. Oh, you may think that's a story I'm making up, but that's not so at all. Griffin decided, he visited his dermatologist who prescribed certain medications that would darken his skin, and he spent hours under sun lamps, and little by little, as he took the medication and as he spent time under sun lamps, his skin started to darken. And after a very long period of time, he was almost there, but of course his hair was a giveaway, and there were still a couple of telltale spots that were not dark enough. So he shaved off his hair, and he got a special type of stain to cover all the telltale spots. And so after a while, John Howard Griffin could finally pass as a black man. His experiences were much worse than he had expected. And in his book, Black Like Me, Griffin shared some of the indignities he suffered because he appeared to have been black. You know, amazingly, if you really think of it, he was still the same well-educated man from a rich family. He still had the same values and the same cultural approach that he always had. Nothing had changed about his culture or his values. The only thing that had changed is that his skin was now dark. And just because his skin was dark, he experienced all sorts of indignities. He tried applying for a job, and the job foreman told him, get out of here We don't want people like you around here. He was followed. He was threatened by strangers. He was followed by thugs. And I tell you, he was beaten up. And as he was hiding out in Mississippi, he wrote that hell could be no more lonely or hopeless. And after his book came out, several attempts were made to kill him, for he had exposed that black Americans were not being paranoid and that they were telling the truth. He had exposed the reality of racism. He had exposed that racism is wicked. It is evil. It is brutal. It is shameful. And it is a great sin in the sight of God. But sadly, this still sin is still very prevalent in the American church. For the American church is badly broken. And if you have a broken church, you'll also have a broken nation. But my friends, it has been past time, and I speak not only to those sitting here this morning, I'm speaking to those who might be listening to me on radio or on the internet. I'm speaking to individuals who are black, white, yellow, blue. It doesn't matter what color you are, because this issue of racism affects all of us, because although we might think we are totally exempt, this scourge, this sin has affected us more than we believe. And I believe this morning God is saying to his church in America, it is beyond time that we deal with this shameful sin and that we bring these racial divisions among us as the church of Jesus Christ. It's time to solve the problem. It's time for us to start behaving like the salt and the light that God intended us to be. Amen. Some church leaders are seeking political solutions. And it used to be some of the church leaders on the right were heavily criticized for the positions they took. And rightly so, because they jumped into bed with certain politicians. But now we have others jumping into bed with those on the left. We are looking for political solutions. But my friend, politics is not going to solve the problem, because no matter what, who we have as president, no matter what decisions they make, if the church remains divided, this nation will never be united. As long as the church remains divided, the country will never be united. And so this morning, I am rejecting. Listen, you may say, why doesn't Pastor Brian join one of the sides? In my opinion, the fact that the church leaders have taken political sides has further divided the church. Because now we not only have a racial divide, we have a political divide. Some churches are on that side, and some churches are on this side. But you won't hear me preaching politics, because I am satisfied that the solution we need is a spiritual solution. A solution, listen, a solution that's based on our obedience to the Word of God and our submission to the Spirit of God. And this morning, it is my prayer this week and next week as we share this message to you, with you, that God might work in your hearts, and that instead of pointing the finger, oh, come on now. Oh, I know I'm looking at a mixed audience, but the majority of us look like me right now. And I know that we have a tendency to point the finger on the other side. But listen, God is not talking to the other person this morning. God is talking to each one of us. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. It's God is speaking to me. And might we this morning be willing to submit to the Word and to the will of God. Today, I want to begin a two-part message, and as I said, I don't normally preach messages like this, so you can understand this is a heavy burden. I want to begin a two-part message entitled God's Answers to the Racial Divide in the American Church. I want to deal with just four questions in the next 2 weeks. And I'm going to ask you to make sure, whether you're here or you're going to watch us, make sure you tune in to part two, because if you only get part one, you would have missed God's message. It's one message. And in part two, we actually share what we believe the Word of God is saying as to what some of the steps we need to take if we're going to get unity in the church. The first question I want to answer this morning is this: does racism in the church have any biblical support? Does racism in the church have any biblical support? Now, for some of you, that may seem like an obvious question, but you might be surprised, and you'll find out as we go along that there are many Christians who believe that racism and even slavery had biblical support. My friend, definitely not. Racism in the church definitely does not have biblical support. If you're taking notes, write this down. All born-again Christians are one in Christ. All born-again Christians are one in Christ. We're going to put a verse or two from Galatians chapter 3 on the board, and I'm going to refer it again later on. But Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28, here's how it reads in the New Living Testament, New Living Translation. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all, well, notice that, all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are what? All one in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter our race. It doesn't matter our social class. It doesn't matter our background. Thank you so much. But I am just, the Word of God is making it very clear. We are all one in Christ Jesus. You know, in the days when this was written, a Jewish man's morning prayer would begin something like this. He would pray, "Blessed are you, Lord, who has created me a man and not a woman, a Jew and not a Gentile, free and not a slave." You see, back then there were walls between men and women. A Jewish woman would have to walk certain paces behind her husband. There were walls between men and women. There were walls between Jews and Gentiles. There were walls between free people and slaves. But salvation tore down all those walls. Amen. We don't have to do like Reagan and say, "Tear down that wall, these walls." Remember the Berlin Wall. We don't have to ask to tear down any wall, because God already tore down those walls. Amen. We are one in Christ. Regardless of our race, our social status, we're now all one family. We are going to the same heaven, amen. And there will be no white neighborhoods or black neighborhoods in heaven. Somebody ought to say amen.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
There'll be no black neighborhoods, no Puerto Rican sections, no part just for Asians. We are one in Christ Jesus, and in heaven we are all one family. Might God help us to realize we are one family. You make sure you're part of the solution, not part of the problem. You need to start, no matter how others treat you. You and I need to treat those who abuse us and recognize that they are family if they belong to Jesus. The question is, are we going to start showing it? If we're one family, are we going to start showing it down here, or are we going to wait to heaven to start showing it? Are you going to be a part of the solution? I want to talk to some of you listening. You know, it's not unusual for people who look like me to go and be members of a white congregation or a congregation where the pastor is white. But I'm finding it that it's very unusual. It's if a person that is black is the pastor, it is the toughest thing for some people of other races to attend that church. Some of you who are listening to me on radio, you enjoy the black preachers. You enjoy the Tony Evans and the Pastor Shepherd and others of us. Not too many of us are in WFIL, but you enjoy the ministry. But if you were looking for a church, you would not be looking for a church where a black man is the pastor. May I ask you why? May I ask you why is it that you would search and you would go across town to find a church, even although you tune in and enjoy the ministry so much? My brother and sister, as you listen, you need to challenge yourself, because racism is much more subtle than we think. The very fact that churches identify themselves as black churches and white churches and Indian churches and Chinese churches, something is wrong. It means that we don't regard ourselves as one in Christ. Oh, by the way, in case you're listening and you wonder, is GCA a black church? No, we are not a black church. We are a multiracial church. We have members born on every continent except Australia. And as you've heard me say before, if you're Australian, we're particularly looking for you. Amen. This whole issue of race is a disaster. It has sidetracked us. And may God help us. Listen, part of the solution, if we're going to be part of the solution, we need to stop this business that I can only seek out a church where most of the people look like me. I just think, as I was preparing, I was thinking of one of the sister churches in Jamaica. One of our sister churches in Jamaica, it began years ago as a Chinese church, and of necessity. And some of you are from churches like that, because you're trying to minister to a group who does not speak English. And all these Chinese immigrants had come into Jamaica. Many of them did not know English very well. And a church was formed to reach out to individuals who spoke Cantonese or whatever dialect they spoke then. And so a special outreach was made. But after these people learned English, the services were changed, and church services were now run in English. And so if you go to that church today, I spoke there last year, there must have been at least 1,500 or 2,000 people from every single shade, every color, every race there is. Yes, it started as a Chinese church, and you may be from a church that started as a Chinese or an Indian church for a reason, but my friend, you've been in America long enough. Amen. The church has to, we need to start working on this. Listen, put this down in your notes. I just said, what did we say? All born again Christians are one in Christ. But listen, no matter whether you're a Christian or not, it's important you realize, write this down, God made all humans equal. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 tells us that God made from one blood all men to dwell on the face of the earth. God made from one blood all men to dwell on the face of the earth. So you can write this down. We all came from the same, what? Blood. This is why, you know, in hospitals, they don't have to ask you about one time they did. You know, at one time they had to check to see were you white or black before you could get the transfusion, but they don't do that anymore. Do you know that a white person could live if they got my blood? Do you know if they gave me a Chinese person's blood, I would be all right? Because God made from one blood, amen? God made from one blood. Listen, we all came from the same blood. But listen, not only we all came from the same blood, put this down, we all came from the same dirt. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, the Bible tells us that God formed man from the dust of the earth. We're all made of dirt. Am I right about that? Oh, no matter how special you feel you are, you think you're better than somebody else. Listen, you're no better than the dirtiest hobo, for we're all dirt. White dirt and red dirt and yellow dirt and brown dirt and black dirt, but we're all just dirt. It's good for us to remember that, you know. When we get all... Have you... Just remember, you're just dirt. Can you imagine if dirt could talk, how stupid it would be for one lump of dirt to tell another lump of dirt, I'm better than you. My friend, just like if a lump of dirt told another lump, I'm better than you, you are crazy if you believe you're better than anybody else, because we are the same blood and we are the same dirt. But sadly, the church has distorted the message of the Bible. Some of you may have heard of the slave Bible. Any of you ever heard of the slave Bible? Nobody heard of the slave Bible. A copy of the slave Bible is in the Museum of the Bible in D.C. And, you know, about 1808 or somewhere like that, one of the British missionary society decided to create a Bible that would, number one, evangelize slaves, but they also wanted a Bible that would help the slaves to realize that it was God's will that they be enslaved. So they created a special Bible. It's actually called the Slave Bible. So how do they create the slave Bible? Anything that might show the evil of slavery was left out. You get it? You create a Bible. They didn't add anything. All they did was subtract. And so, for example, the entire book of Exodus was subtracted. Why? You subtract the whole book of Exodus because in Exodus the slaves were set free. Pharaoh, who had them enslaved, was judged. Hey, we don't want slaves believing that the slave master might be judged by God and they will be set free. So tear it out. Out came Exodus. Out came Jeremiah 22 verse 13. Since most of you don't know this verse, I'm going to put it up on the screen, because this is one of the verses I hardly ever heard anyone refer to. Jeremiah 22, 13, put it on the screen for us. That one was torn out. Here's what this verse says. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him nothing for his work. Whoa! Does not sound like what the slave masters were doing. Woe to him that builds his house by unrighteousness. He uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him nothing for his work. What are we going to do with that verse? Tear it out! But of course, we want to make sure Ephesians chapter 6 verse 5 is in there, because we want to emphasize that one, because Ephesians 6 5 says, servants, obey your masters. They loved that verse. You know, I heard someone say that a half a truth is a total lie. And my friend, the slave Bible was a total lie, because by picking and choosing what to include, it totally distorted the message. Well, I wish I had time to preach this morning, because if I had time to preach, I'd talk a little bit about what is happening today, where the Church of Jesus Christ is picking and choosing parts of the Bible, where churches are actually literally doing surveys to find out what people want to hear about, and anything you don't want to hear about, they don't preach on that. They leave it out. They're doing exactly what happened with the slave Bible. They still have the whole Bible, but they're doing the same thing, because they won't talk about anything that you don't want to hear about. One preacher said, I will never preach about sin. Of course, I bring him up quite frequently, because I cannot believe a preacher would literally say, I will not preach about sin. By the way, this is one of the reasons it scares me that pastors are taking political sides, because they end up producing a slave Bible. You say, what do I mean? When pastors take political sides, they don't use the parts of the Bible that challenge the side they're on. I hope you realize that. They only use the side of the Bible that challenges the opposition.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.